You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
What good is hope when death comes, as it does, to all of us?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, put eternity in our minds through faith in your Son and our Savior who died for us and rose again. Give us hope for today and for tomorrow with a living trust in your kindness, your forgiveness, your promise of life that is eternal, all in Jesus Christ who died and rose again to give us life. At his direction and in his name we pray. Amen. What good is hope when death comes, as it does, to all of us? Like boats with all sails flying, we are all blown by the winds of time. We're all going to die. What good is hope when death comes to all of us, as it does? Why, said St. Paul, that's what hope is all about. Hope faces the fact of death. It does not fade in the fear of death. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, said Paul, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. As you can see, St. Paul is not talking about any old kind of hope. Hope is in Christ. He makes all the difference. In the language of the New Testament, hope was born with Christ. The hopes of his people were reborn with his resurrection from the dead. Everything depends on that, his resurrection. If Christ be not raised, said St. Paul, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, to become the first fruits of them that slept. I don't have to stand here and try to prove the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His men knew him. They saw him risen from the dead. They talked with him, touched him, ate with him. He showed himself to us, they said, with many incontrovertible proofs. We cannot be mistaken about him. I'd take their word for it. Their word is a down payment of God's Holy Spirit in our world. A guarantee of something much greater that is still to be. What is hope now will become reality later. What is hope now, real, live hope, is a taste of what is yet to be, all because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at those men who had seen Jesus Christ. They were absolutely convinced that he had risen from the dead. I have to say that in them you see a new form of living in which death is reduced to the insignificant. For them, life had become an endless continuity of joy and thanksgiving. God declares life, they said, in Jesus Christ. His life is shared with the world in the good news of Jesus Christ, who loved this world of ours and laid down his life for it. He died and was buried, That's a fact. The death of Christ was the offense of the gospel, as St. Paul called it. To some people, it still is. Today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the offense of the gospel. A lot of people cannot bring themselves to believe that. It doesn't happen every day. In fact, as far as they are concerned, it doesn't happen at all. They would like to believe, but they can't. The facts are against it, they say. God's word says that all the facts confirm it. The greatest fact of all is the hope born in the hearts of people who are not dreaming when they say Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. These men knew it. They saw him. We had in our hands, said St. John, the Lord of life. The risen Christ met Saul on the Damascus Road and turned him into Paul. Hope was born anew in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hope lives as he lives. That's a fact. I see it in the faces and in the lives of people today. Despite the fact that we have an unremitting witness of God's word in our world, some people still persist in their vague opinions about death. They refuse to receive hope and are dogmatic in their obstinacy, even though it gets them nowhere. People who go sailboating have one great problem: no wind. In the old days, sailing ships lay for days in motionless and glassy seas because there was no wind. The heat of the open sky and the blazing sun was terrific. Food and water supplies, human morale, even the planking of the ships began to give way. At times like that, fear of death came on hard and strong. That's the way it is with people today, adrift on a trackless sea, with no wind to fill the sail. They begin to call it quits. They know they are right, and God is wrong. To people like that, God's word has something special to say. People confused, smug in their feelings about death and the hereafter. People who simply don't know and push away all the questions about death for a later time. People for whom there has never been a beginning because there's nothing at the end. For them, Paul had something great to say. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. That's not just a statement of fact, it's a promise. The promise comes from God. He knows what he is doing. It may not always look that way, but he knows. It takes faith to say that. Faith in God. That's the faith this man had. Faith in God. You can depend on God, he said. Faith is not without evidence. It's not just a dream born in somebody's mind. It's not the product of somebody's imagination. Nor is it the hope that dies forlorn. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And there's good reason to hope. There's every good reason to hope in God, because he raised Jesus Christ from the dead and declared him to be the Son of God with power. Jesus Christ died and was buried. That's a significant fact. He died not for himself, but for the world. Jesus Christ committed no sin at all, but he died anyway. He died for us, for our sins. He took our place. He did it on his own, with no compulsion at all except the love that was in him. For all of that, God raised him from the dead and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. He is Lord. He is Savior and Lord. He's the Redeemer of mankind. He tasted death for every man to bring us to God. There's something very personal about all of that. It's very human. It's also very much the way God does things. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That's the way God does things. There's no doubt about that. St. Paul said to the court at Caesarea, "Why should it be thought incredible among you that God should raise the dead? He's God. Why not? Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Why go along with that vague point of view people have about death, partly illusion, partly unfounded sentimentality, and partly pure guesswork? There's no guesswork about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there's no guesswork in the hope built on that great event. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're no better than other people. But now has Christ been raised from the dead. Hope has got substance. A great harvest is even now being brought in. and Christ is the first visible and fresh fruit in hand. Death is a part of life. All of us will die. Death is a part of the ongoing process of things. It's there. And no one can get rid of it by thinking it out of existence or ignoring it as if it doesn't exist. Death is a part of life. That's reality. It's the daily material of newspapers and broadcasts. It's there in pension plans and in health insurance policies. It's there in the seat belts and reinforced windshields of automobiles. It's there in dental work, eyeglasses, and hearing aids. It's there in the legitimate and illegitimate drug trade. It's there in shopping tours for winter coats or for new pairs of galoshes for the children. It's there as part of the tightly woven fabric of life. It's just too bad for those who fear it. A lot of nervous energy is wasted on death. It's too bad for those who flee it. It is with them all the way. Death is too bad for those who believe that it won't come to them. It's there weaving its web, for all of us shall die. Things get really uncomfortable when you think about the fact that death is there because of us. It's no out to say it's Adam's fault or somebody else's fault. God's word lumps us with Adam and with everyone else in this wide world of ours. When Adam sinned, he did what all of us would have done and what all of us indeed have done. In Adam's fall, we sin it all. We live apart from God and even in conflict with him. And that's why death touches us all. Death, as the Bible talks about it, is apartness from God. The end result of the apartness which people practice all through life and choose to ignore. You might even say that death is natural, except, of course, that it's very unnatural. It's not what God intended. It's not the God-given destiny of man. That's something else again. God's intention is life. He would not have that any should perish, but that all should come to life again. That's why he sent Jesus Christ. And that's why Christ died. That's why Christ rose from the grave. That's why the Spirit of God presses upon you this day the good gift of God in Jesus Christ. That's why the good news comes to you with his forgiving love. That's why he offers you life, life that is life indeed. It's the life of Christ himself. As in Adam, all men die, so in Christ are all made alive. Only in Christ are men made alive. Death is more than a biological event. It's a moral event. One that finally tells the truth about all of us. It is appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. That's moral judgment. Jesus Christ died too. That's not an insignificant event. He was buried. That's not insignificant either. He really died. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and only that can make death insignificant. If it's true that Jesus Christ died and rose again, life is not the same when it is life with him. It's not the same as it would be without him. Things have changed. One man sinned and brought death on all men. One man died and rose again, and everything has changed. Biological problems may remain, but the moral problem has been changed. Death itself has been changed. It becomes just a comma or a semicolon because there's more to come. God is in the picture, and that changes everything, even death. By man came death, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. It was the willing act of Jesus to die for us all. By his resurrection from the dead, God says to our world, I am reconciled, I forgive, I offer you life. You pass from death to life through your faith in Christ. By this you know you have passed from death to life through your love of your brothers. God has cracked death wide open with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Others may insist on going their own way, but don't you do that. God wants you to share in the hope of Christ, the one he gives, by cracking death wide open. Christ is for you, and the hope of Christ is for you. You don't have to keep walking around death as if it doesn't exist. It's there, of course. It's there because of you. Christ gave himself into death for you. He paid the price for you. He set you free from the fear of death by the price he paid. There's hope for you. in Jesus Christ. He gives life in place of death. He forgives and forgets the past and gives joy and courage for the future. He does that with a genuine live wire hope, the hope that comes from God, that rests in God and banks on God. It's hope for today and tomorrow. If we have hope only for today, said St. Paul, we haven't got anything at all. Hope like that is worse than nothing. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. With Christ, there's hope for tomorrow and for the day after tomorrow. There's hope for God's great tomorrow, the one that will dawn when Christ returns to judge the world. In that day, hope will become reality. Then will come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The wages of sin is death. And the strength of sin is the law, which condemns every form of sin. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our language is strained to the limit in order to express what God has in mind. A harvest is coming, but it has already begun to come in. Christ is the first fruit of that harvest. He was raised from the dead. There will be others. Now, how about you? Will you be in that harvest of those who have found death to be but a sleep from which one is wakened on the morrow? One of Christ's men asked, how can we know where you are going and how can we know the way? Christ answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone who comes to the Father comes by me. That's about as straightforward and simple as anyone could make it. He is the way. Have faith in him, my friend. He is the way. He's the cracker of death. He is the life. Death is not all-powerful. Christ is. He can be trusted. He's Lord. Have faith in him and have hope reborn. Here is hope, the kind that does not disappoint. St. Paul said the time for his departure had come. He didn't fear it. In fact, he looked forward to it. That's hope. He actually said that the time of his unmooring had come. The moment arrives slowly, and the ship drifts out with the tides away from the dock. It begins to move out to sea. That's what that ship was made for, to go to sea beyond the horizon behind the distant shores, with all kinds of new adventures awaiting. That's death when there is hope. That's death when there's hope in Christ. As in Adam all die, so in Christ are we made alive. Each in his own turn, Christ first. Then when Christ comes back, all his people back alive with him. For Christ will be king, having defeated all his enemies, including the last enemy, which is death. That too he has defeated. The rule of death is over. In Christ, all are made alive. It's true, my friend. True for you. Death is swallowed up in victory. Amen.